From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, a new season awaits. Could this be the one where your left field picks don't limp off in the 59th minute? Where your big money signing doesn't make Benteke look like Benzema? Where you consistently nail Pep's picks and romp to an incredible global triumph with fame and approbation from all the haters who doubted you and called you a loser? Maybe. We're here to help anyway as you build your teams with a fat season preview. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, James Richardson. And with us today on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast, we've got a particularly exciting looking lineup. Who is it? Well, there's standard bearer for stats in sport, Optijo's Duncan Alexander.
Hello, James.
Hello, Duncan. English football-loving French journalist and broadcaster Julien Laurence.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone.
Hi, he's in Portugal. And one half of the FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Hiya, James.
Hey, the good half, I think it's fair
to
say.
The better half.
Yeah. Oh, poor Lee.
Well, you know, I mean, I think he'd recognise that because who finished higher last year?
Well, me, of course.
Right. Just out of interest, where did you finish last year in FPL, Sam?
3,499th.
Ooh, top 3,500.
Yeah, nice.
And you also won the our kind of pundits league on this show, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Coveted first place, which was good. Jules gave me a long battle for most of the season, but seemed to fall apart a bit at the end, didn't you, Jules?
I mean, I stopped really looking at the tables when I was not top anymore. So, like,
excuses.
I blame the pandemic for me not winning the whole world table, to be fair.
Jules, where did you finish? Have you checked the table since?
No, not really. I think I finished fifth maybe or sixth in our league.
No, but you know, in the world, where did you finish?
In the world, I was 8,000 something.
Okay, that's not bad, I have
to say.
It's
not bad. There was a time where I was 800, you know, so like I thought, this is easy. First season, I mean, 1,000, and then clearly, you know.
It's quite precise knowledge for a man who wasn't looking at the tables. But, you know, who am I to say?
How much did you finish, Mr. Statsman? Let's see your numbers.
Well, base math tells me that I was basically 100 times worse than Sam because I came about 330,000. But, you know. Right. I went very experimental in the post-lockdown, so, you know.
Yeah, of course.
It was a strange season, and this one probably will be too. Jules, after that Leicester-esque collapse in the second half of the season, are there any lessons you've drawn ahead of your sophomore campaign?
So, and I'm not trying to find any excuses, but I have to say the schedule and the fixtures after the restart, I find it really hard to follow and which game belonged to which match day. And I thought it was a bit complicated to get your teams right at what time, etc. And I was maybe not as focused as I should have been. So once again, it's just make sure that you don't miss any deadlines like I did. Mm. And just make sure that you're on top of things, which I know is not always easy for everyone, but especially when you are in such a competitive environment, you know.
Because was that it, Jules? Or was there something else about your approach or your perhaps overconfidence in the first half of the season that you feel maybe let you down in the second half?
So I would say no, because like for example, the Danny Ings pick, which was mine.
Okay.
It belongs to me.
Really?
It worked really great.
Sense.
And then others didn't really work that well. But, you know, I was the first one on that podcast to say Danny would be the man.
Right. You were the first to say many things, Jules. We haven't got time to
That's
revisit.
Very true.
Revisit all of them right now. But that's fantastic. I'm glad that you're confident ahead of a new campaign. We all should be. You know, we're all level on top at the moment. So for all of us, apart from one person, the only way is down, worryingly enough. But we're going to have a show today, which you're listening to, and we've got another one, a second preview show, coming up at the end of the week with kind of extra updates and looking a bit more specifically at the weekend's fixture list. Today, it's really all about nailing down some must-have players as we build our teams before the 2020-2021 campaign. Let's start next with the men in nets, the goalkeepers. All right then, goalkeepers, set and forget or get and regret? What's your strategy? Duncan, let's hear from you first of all, must-haves.
Well, I've gone with a strategy of cheap keepers, because we'll probably come onto this, but I've gone big on my midfield, so I need to make savings elsewhere. So at the moment, I've gone with Alex McCarthy, with my old friend David Button as reserve, just like, because his name is also a thing, which is good.
Sam.
So much like Duncan, actually, I'm going with two cheap keepers. I think there's some really nice rotating options. If you look at McCarthy and Ryan over at Brighton, they rotate really nicely in terms of home and away fixtures and fixture difficulty too. So you can save a bit of money and go with those guys and have a nice long run of good keeper picks.
Okay. Interesting. Jules?
I like Pope. I wanted to put Pope first in the team and then have a really rubbish one next to him, like I think Walton, who we'd never heard of before. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but and then I thought about McCarthy, because I think that Southampton would defend much better this season with Salisu, the centre-back they bought from Valladolid, who will be in the team, in my team as well. So I might just put a lot of faith in those two.
What about the situation at Arsenal? I think, like you guys, I've got McCarthy. He's probably one of the most owned players going into this new season. But I was curious about whether it's worth a punt on Martinez at Arsenal, or whether Ben Leno would be coming back into the picture there. Jules, do you know?
I don't think anyone knows. I don't think Arteta himself knows. I think he will decide. I think they're very much two number ones, if you want. And then he will decide as the season goes ahead and after games, that Leno started with Germany against Switzerland on Sunday night, for example. So he will have played some game. Amy Martinez played the Community Shield with Arsenal. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. What was for sure is that Amy Martinez could have left the club. There was plenty of offers and clubs who wanted him, decided to stay. So whether he knows already that he's going to play a lot, or he loves the club and wants to stay and fight for that number one spot, it'd be interesting to see. But I would stay away from those two, because I think it's quite hard to predict.
Okay. And the big names like Ederson or Alisson, or even possibly Hugo Lloris at Jose Mourinho's Spurs, we're all steering clear of them?
I think Lloris would be a reasonable shout. Statistically, he was probably the most underrated keeper in the Premier League last year. I mean, I know he missed quite a few games, but when he did play, he kind of kept goal at way above the kind of average rate. But it's just a cost, really. I think, you know, there's so many good options outfield this season that I think most people are going to want to save money with their keepers.
Fair enough. Let's move a little bit further upfield then to the back line and defenders. So now, Jules, you've already mentioned the new signing for Southampton at the back. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, he was fantastic in La Liga last season. Salisu at Valladolid, in a small club, so there's a lot of defending to do. You're under pressure a lot. And he was just very good in the air, very good in all the challenges. He's very physical. So don't expect him to score many goals, because I don't think, well, certainly last season on set pieces, he was not at his best. But maybe that could change with Arsene Hutzel at Southampton. But certainly defensively, he showed great promises. He's a young player that a lot of clubs wanted, and I think it's a real coup by Southampton to have got him. He's someone that they would sell easily for far more money in a couple of years. So I think it's a very interesting, for the price that he costs, it's a very, very interesting player.
How much is he, Jules?
I think he's on 4.5, if I'm not mistaken. So I think, again, for a centre-back, and if you get McCarthy, they can bring you a lot of points with good defending.
That sounds really interesting. Will this work out any better than Fornat, who you were tipping up this time last season, Jules?
I can't remember me saying anything about Pablo Fornat, who is a lovely player, to be fair, but maybe lacks sort of efficiency, you know, when it comes to... He finished the season quite strongly, so maybe it was not that bad. Just 10 months too early.
All right, well, I'm not sure if Salisu's on anybody else's radar yet, but that's a very interesting tip. The big name that's been dominating, I think, a lot of fantasy talk defender-wise has been Matt Doherty, following his move to Spurs, available for £6 million. A lot of people thinking he might thrive under Jose Mourinho. He did pretty well, of course, last season at Wolves, the fourth top-scoring defender. He had 4 goals and 8 assists. He also had 12 clean sheets. That is, though, quite a lot of money to spend, Sam.
It is quite a lot of money to spend, but equally, I think he is worth it. I think for the majority of FPL managers, will go with Trent as a premium defender. And then in my view, it's always a good idea to have another middling price tag defender alongside to give you some flexibility in moving your defence around. So there's some great options. Jules has already mentioned one. There's also Kyle Walker-Peters at Southampton, who looks like a great pick too. But I think for me, Doherty's likely to be my second defender of choice, simply because he allows you to get to a lot of places from him should somebody else start performing well early on in the season. Spurs look more solid defensively, particularly since Hoiberg has arrived as well, so that should offer them some more stability in defence. As Duncan already alluded to earlier, Lloris looks like he'll be a good option in goal this year, so there should be clean sheets, and with Doherty there's always potential for attacking returns too.
All right, and other players, like for example even Eric Dier maybe, could look more attractive because of the players now in around them. But your two must-haves from this then would be Doherty and Trent.
Yeah.
Duncan, what about you?
Well, Sam's concerned me here because I've got Trent, because that's obvious. And then I've had to, again, make a lot of savings. I've gone with John Egan as well because he did pretty well in lockdown, brought in quite a few points towards the end of the season. But other than that, I've got Neco Williams, who, you know, might play a bit for Liverpool, but may not. James Justin, who I think is a good shout to have a really good season. He ended the season well last year at Leicester, and you know, obviously should get more opportunities this campaign. And then I've gone for Barry Douglas from Leeds because he's Scottish and he's a left back, and other than Shortbread, the one thing Scotland can produce nowadays is left backs, you know, Tierney, Robertson. He's a less glamorous option, but apparently he's due to play a bit more this season. So, yeah, it's a bit of a budget defence, but it may change before the weekend, given what Sam said, but not drastically.
Okay. And Jules, what about you? Who would be the must-haves, the essentials at the back?
So Trent, I think he's... Everybody should go for Trent. The issue I've got with Doherty is, will Spurs play with a back four or with a back five? I think it's two very, very different positions. I think he did so well last year because he played so higher on the pitch in that back five. Whereas if you go back to a back four, one, I'm not really sure defensively how well he will cope with that, especially depending on who plays ahead of him and if he doesn't get much help defensively. I'll wait maybe a little bit to see how Spurs play and how Doherty plays before maybe bringing him in. But I think there's another good shot in Leeds other than Douglas is Luke Hayling, who did really well in the championship last season with 4 goals and 4 assists. I just think this Leeds team under Bielsa, they would play so offensive football that everybody would score, everybody can score, everybody can assist. I find them quite fascinating, and I'm really tempted to put quite a lot of Leeds players in, well, not more than three, but Hayling, for example, I think would be a very, very attacking-wise right back or defender, wherever he plays. And I think it could be really good return in terms of points.
Do Leeds not look like a team who might concede a bunch? They begin with Liverpool, of course.
Yeah, they begin with Liverpool. No, I mean, they might concede. I just think that, like Duncan said, I don't think you should build your defence on who's going to get the most clean sheet. I think you should build your defence, a bit like with Trent, on who will bring you the most points going forward as well, almost as defensively.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the last couple of seasons, fullbacks are now arguably the most creative position on the pitch for most teams. So it really is about getting as many attacking content from them as you can. And yeah, I think Jules is right there.
I think if you play a back three of Trent, Doherty and Ayling, for example, or another attacking right back or left back, I think that's, whether they concede or not, I think they will bring you so much points going forward that it could be a good choice.
All right, interesting. Interesting. So shift of mentality, as you say, over the last year or two. Thiago Silva, by the way, legend that he is, coming in at Chelsea, 5.5. Will he play? Will he be worth it to FPL managers? Any thoughts?
So I actually really fancy the Chelsea defence to do well this year. My slight concern is that it's still Kepa between the sticks, and he is really prone to just having an off day and letting in some goals and losing the clean sheet. But I think Thiago Silva and eventually Ben Chilwell, when he's fit and available, will make that Chelsea back four really nice, and they could do really well. It's just the keeper situation that concerns me. There are a lot of money to spend if the keeper's going to keep making mistakes.
Right, conceded more goals than any time for more than 2 decades last season, and I've obviously spent big, but pretty much at the other end of the team over the summer. Which is one thing, when you're building your teams, it is worth checking out the fixture difficulty rating calendars that you'll find online. There will be one from the PremierLeague.com probably by the time you hear this. the teams that really stand out at the moment as having good openings to this campaign and their players looking a bit more attractive as a result: Spurs, Saints, Chelsea, I would say, and Arsenal, and probably Leicester as well, although there is the memory of that disastrous finish to their last campaign. Teams to absolutely avoid, at least based on their opening fixtures, would seem to be West Ham and Brighton. Any others that you'd add to that list?
I mean, Chelsea do have Liverpool as a second game. Yeah. So I'm not sure how attractive their fixture list could be with Liverpool so early in the season, but we saw Liverpool against Arsenal not being that great in the competition. Yeah. So maybe
Brighton and the Baggies on either side of that Liverpool game, and then Palace Saints to follow for Chelsea. So, you know, I mean, maybe that's something to figure in when we look at the players a little bit further forward, which is actually what we're going to do next, listener, because we're going to reach the place where the magic happens, the midfield. Midfield, where do the top scoring FPL players consistently come from? It is the middle of the park, not the forwards. Although, some of those high-scoring players from last season have now moved positions. Sob. Anthony Martial, he's become a forward. So has Richarlison. Mikel Antonio has also gone from midfielder to forward. But the good news is that we've got a whole rash of high-scoring forwards who are now midfielders, which is brilliant because they get more points per goal and they get a share in clean sheet points too. So, hello, Diogo Jota, Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Ooh, is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang now a midfielder in our list of must-haves for the midfield? What do you think, Sam?
100%. If you don't have Aubameyang for those opening two games, it is going to hurt you. Even when Arsenal lost in pre-season, he still got a brace of goals in that game. Not having Aubameyang feels like you are going into game week one with your hands tied behind your back to me.
Fulham at home, West Ham away are those opening fixtures for Aubameyang. He's not cheap, 12 million you'll have to spend on him. But worth it, do you think, Jules?
Yeah, completely. We saw already against Liverpool the kind of form that he was in, lovely goal, and then the winning penalty. I think it's more that even now he's more at ease in that position on the left-hand side, which is where he's going to play. And I think last season he scored a lot of goals from that position after Arteta's arrival, but still had to learn a lot about his movement, his positioning, which is very different, obviously, than when he used to play as a centre forward. Now I think he knows exactly what to do in that position. His understanding with Lacazette is brilliant. If you bring Willian in as well, and then whoever else can provide balls like Tierney on one side and Bellerin or Cedric, whoever plays on the other side. I just think there would be a lot of opportunities for him to score. And especially now that he's in a position that he knows far much better than in the last 8 months, for example.
All right. Duncan, you previously described your midfield selection as incredibly glamorous. Would you like to explain?
Yeah, can't wait. Come on.
Well, I've come up with this system called NWA, which stands for Narrative Wins Autumn. So basically, the thing is that the Premier League's coming back and everyone's excited. And there's lots of new little stories, possibly not the biggest one that we were hoping for. But so I've basically splashed out, obviously gone for Aubameyang, but I've brought in all three of Chelsea's big signings. So I've got Ziyech and Havertz in midfield and Timo Werner up front. I've also got Salah in midfield. And I've I know a man that can sell cheap FPL players. No, I don't. No, as I said, I've had to make sacrifices elsewhere. But and then also Suchek, the second most popular Czech last season after VAR. So I think that's a pretty strong midfield, and that's where I'm hanging my hat.
Crikey, just read us that midfield again.
Yeah.
Aubameyang, Ziyech, Salah, Suchek and Havertz.
Damn. And who have you got? You have to ask, and listeners, bear with me on this. Can you just read out how you've managed to make that work? Who else is in your squad? Goalkeepers?
Goalkeepers are Button and McCarthy.
Right.
Defenders are Douglas, Justin, Alexander-Arnold, Williams and John Egan. And then up front is actually also quite good, I think. We've got Timo Werner, Shane Long and Rodrigo, because as Jules said earlier, I think Leeds are going to hit the ground running. Whether Rodrigo does or not remains to be seen, but he's got a good chance.
That, it doesn't sound like a bad
team. Did you get a loan from the FPL? Did they loan you money to
I sent them a Burofax, and the next thing I knew, I had 150 mil.
So. Love that.
Very nice. All right, so we're here to talk about your must-haves. We've decided, I think, that Aubameyang, would you boys agree, Aubameyang must-have? Yep.
Yeah.
Jules, yeah. Okay, good. Who else would you have in there, Jules?
KDB, for me, has to be a must. And then if you have Aubameyang and KDB, you don't have much money left for your midfield, but try to be a bit creative with the other players.
Okay, if that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, for example, I think Naby Keita will have a great season with Liverpool. I think he would be the one that will make that team improve in midfield. And he's only costing, I think, 5.5, which is an absolute bargain. And I really, and he's got so many goals in him. I mean, even assists, and he will bring so many different things to that team that I think he will play. He will play quite regularly in that midfield three, especially with Wijnaldum's situation not being very clear, still only being one left on his contract, might leave the club as well between now and October the 5th. So I could really see Keita being the starter for Liverpool this season and then bringing a lot of points if you have him in your team.
Interesting. What about Everton's? As it stands, we haven't had confirmation on Everton's new midfield trio. I think, I'm not sure if any of them have yet been confirmed, but I mean, the one that really catches, lights up the imagination is James Rodriguez. If he were to become available over the next few days, would he enter into your plans?
I think I'd want to see how Everton were playing first. You know, he's the sort of player that if Everton hit the ground running, he could be the new James McFadden. But otherwise, you know, it could take him a little while to kind of get used to the pace of the Premier League. So, yeah, I mean...
I was just thinking, James McFadden, who's James McFadden?
I think Everton have a tough fixture to start with Spurs, but then after that, they play West Brom, Crystal Palace and Brighton. So if we see how they go in game week one, they're the perfect kind of storm for bringing in game week two and having them for those next few games if they do well.
Just as a side note on that, and Jules, you mentioned Kevin De Bruyne. Obviously, Man City, like Man United and a couple of other clubs, don't have a fixture in game week one. Would you bring in players, given how highly priced they tend to be, from those clubs? Or would you wait until week two and even maybe think about using an early wild card to redesign your team immediately?
Well, that's why I didn't have Bruno Fernandes or De Bruyne, because of that, you know, gap in match week one. I mean, it would feel wasteful to use your wild card so early. But then one thing I learned from last season was I was way too cautious with things like wild cards and triple captains and left them too long. So, yeah, maybe.
Isn't the thinking now, Sam, among, you know, the FPL Illuminati, when you meet under a volcano, as you do... That,
With a mask.
Socially distanced, of course.
Yeah. But the wild cards, you play the first one early and the second one late?
No, I will be doing the opposite of that. Oh. I will be... So for me, last season, the thing that worked really well is that I picked my wild card, my first one, really late.
Yes.
And in doing that, it enabled me to hold my other wild card and use it later on in the season when it became
late.
Important. So so I'll go for two late options if at all possible. So for me, I'm doing the total opposite of what Duncan is doing.
Right.
And I've got a Manchester United and a Manchester City player who will sit on my bench, so that I don't have to make lots of transfers to bring them in for game week two, when you're definitely going to want those players. I mean, Man City, it's not so urgent because they play Wolves in game week two. I think you'll want them from game week three. But Man United have a really nice fixture in game week two, and I want Bruno Fernandes for that. So he's going to be comfortably taking a seat on my bench for game week one.
Right. And that thing that we had last season where the Premier League gave everybody unlimited transfers before the final third of the season, will that be happening again?
Unlikely, unless we have another major lockdown and we don't have any fixtures. So we need to use our wild cards as we would normally in a standard season.
Fingers crossed.
I've got sorry for my ignorance. Sam, can we play the free hit on match day one? Are we allowed on game week one to play your free hits? So you put you put in your squad City and United players, and then you play your free hit for the first game week?
No, the free hit isn't available in game week one. So you can play your bench boost or your triple captain, but you can't free hit in game week one.
That's interesting. Well, that's some of your creative thinking, I guess, there, Jules. Anyway, now, on the subject of midfielders, any other must-haves? We've got, so far, Aubameyang, and then there's this kind of grey area of whether you bring in the Manchester players like KDB or Bruno Fernandes and similar. And by the way, on the subject of Man United, now that Rashford is a midfielder, if you could only pick one Man United midfielder, which one would it be?
So I've gone Bruno Fernandes, but I think he could easily become Rashford and save me a million. That would help out in the rest of my team. And Rashford's on penalties the same as Fernandes is. So you don't get that advantage for having one over the other because they share them.
All right. Jules?
I would go Rashford. I went for Martial as the only United player I have at the moment. But I think if I had to pick between Fernandes and Rashford, I would go for Rashford. I watched
Rashford,
the other night with Portugal, and I'm just not sure it will have the same impact from the start of the season that he had after arriving in January last season.
Interesting, Duncan.
Well, I was thinking there's a similar argument at Liverpool as well. Obviously, the Mane-Salah eternal debate. And I think at the moment, Salah's about 30% owned and Mane's only down at 12-ish. So, you know, again, that's a big opportunity maybe because you never know which one of them's going to hit the ground running. So,
Okay. So, to conclude on midfield, can I get two must-haves from each of you? Duncan?
Well, Aubameyang and I'm going to say Kai Havertz, because he's only 8.5 million and he is really, really good. You know, he's got 29 goals in the last two Bundesliga seasons. And he's also scored more away goals than home goals in every season he's played as a professional footballer, which is a really good kind of thing to have under your belt.
Interesting. Sam?
Aubameyang and Salah for me.
Okay. Traditional. And Jules?
Aubameyang and KDB for me.
All righty. Next up, listener, forwards. Okay, big news up front. Timo Werner arriving at Chelsea and available to FPL managers for 9.5 million. Will Werner be a decent earner? Is there going to be any room for Tammy Abraham? Chelsea, I think, have got good fixtures. Jules isn't so sure. Are you going, Duncan, you've gone for Timo Werner. What about you, Sam? Are you convinced?
I really fancy Chelsea to have a really good season this year. My little bit of concern comes with which Chelsea players are going to play. I feel like they've got so many midfielders that it could be a bit of a Pep roulette going on at Chelsea this year from Frank. But I think Werner is a really, really nice pick. I just wonder how quickly they gel. All of these players arriving at Chelsea, it's basically a whole new team that we're looking at. And will Werner get off to the start that we're kind of expecting? So for me, I'm going to just hold fire for the first two game weeks on Chelsea. They play Liverpool in game week two. That's never an easy game. So at the end of game week two, that will be where I'll make my Chelsea change and I'll get somebody then. But I'm going to start the season with my main man and have Harry Kane up top.
Harry Kane, you say? That's interesting.
Of course.
Right, okay. Harry Kane for you. On the subject of Timo Werner, Jules, yay, nay?
Nay, for me, I just need a bit of time. I want to see how he plays, if he needs a bit of time to adapt to the Premier League, a bit like Kai Havertz. I'm not convinced that he hit the ground running straight away. Like, for example, they've been with the national team where Havertz is not fully fit, I think, already. I just don't know with that Liverpool game in game week two. I just need a bit of time to see how this Chelsea team, like Sam said rightly, gels and how they play, what formation. I'm still not sure how he would play them all together. So, yeah.
Jules, I want a written apology in a couple of weeks because you're going to see. Let's not forget the NWA system. Narrative wins.
Yeah, of course. Sorry. Yeah.
Chelsea, Liverpool early on, right? Liverpool going to struggle to score. And everyone's going to be like, oh, Liverpool should have bought Timo Werner. He's going to score the winner against Liverpool. So I think, I mean, weirdly, he already linked up with Ziyech in a friendly they played against Brighton. And that's obviously also their opening fixture of the season. It's quite odd. Crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a team play their first opponents in a pre-season friendly before. I mean, I've gone the other way. I mean, I think that I don't trust Chelsea at the back, but I think going forwards, they're gonna score a lot of goals. So, yeah.
Okay. So you say yes to Timo Werner, nobody else does. Who else? Harry Kane for Sam. Anybody else? Who have you got as your three forwards at the moment, Sam?
So I've got Harry Kane. I really, really fancy this to be the year that Shea Adams does well at Southampton. During the restart, he looked really good playing in a two-man attack alongside Danny Ings. And we all know what Danny Ings did last season. I think Southampton, as Jules was saying when we were talking about the defence earlier, they just look like they've bought well. And they look like they're well set up now under Hasselhoeven. So I'm expecting them to have a really nice season. I'm expecting Adams to get more game time. And in pre-season, he's been excellent. So I'm putting my eggs in the Southampton basket in more ways than one, not just the double up in defence, but also with Adams up top. And then I'm really, really hoping that Liverpool send Brewster out on loan, because if he could go somewhere on loan in the Premier League, that will really, really help me spread the budget across the rest of my team.
Okay. If you're listening, Liverpool.
Please.
Jules?
So I've got Harry Kane. I think Kane will have a very, very good season. I think the way Spurs are going to play in a far more pragmatic way maybe than under Poch with Mourinho having the proper preseason will help him. So he's in my team. And then I've got Anthony Martial because I think he will really pick up where he left it last season. And because he's French, Duncan, you're right, and he did well with France the other day. And I think coming back with the national team, I think will boost him too. So I think he would be there. And then for my third man, I put Mitrovic first from Fulham because I thought that he did well in the championship, obviously, but I could feel that it's the right time for him in the Premier League. And then I watched Serbia-Turkey last night, and it was dreadful. And it was so bad. I was like, oh, my God. So now maybe I'm thinking Rodrigo at Leeds.
Rodrigo, yeah. Mm. I think you're right, Jules. Yeah, no, I've been hurt by Mitrovic before. He may have left the nets of the Premier League untroubled every time I had him, but he certainly furrowed my brow. But I really like the look of Rodrigo at Leeds.
But he's not, for all the listeners, Rodrigo has never really been a prolific striker. He's a very, very good forward and he's got so many qualities. But I think the best season he has was 16 goals, and every other season for Valencia after that is less than 10. However, I do think that in a Bielsa system and in a Premier League where he has all the qualities to do really well in England, in English football, I think he could have a very prolific season. So I think for 6 million, I think he could be a bargain.
Okay. And Danny Ings, the player, FPL forward asset, indeed scored more goals than him after the lockdown. You know,
you mean my Danny Ings?
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
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 I was not sure if I'd mentioned that I tipped him last year, that's all.
Not that made the edit, Jules, no. is he kind of tattooed on the team sheet again?
No, we need to wait a bit because he starts usually. And then when I say so and when he starts scoring, everybody can bring him back.
Hurrah.
The confidence, Jules, the confidence.
Duncan.
Well, obviously, Sam mentioned Che Adams and Jules and his love affair with Danny Ings continues. It's good to see. I've actually gone for Shane Long because... Yes. He's very much the Lionel Messi alternative, in my opinion, because like Messi, was born in 1987. Like Messi, he scored 14 headed goals in top-flight football. And like Messi, he's played under Ronald Koeman, or Messi will soon. So I think he could basically pick up the kind of energy that Messi would have brought to the Premier League.
Nobody has ever compared Shane Long to Lionel Messi.
Well, not Shane Long himself, or not even his dad.
Messi has never scored in the first 2 minutes of a game in his entire career, and Shane Long's got the quickest ever Premier League goal. So, I mean, I think possibly Shane Long's got more to offer. But
wow.
I'm happy, yeah.
Has Messi ever had the same goal drought that Shane Long had? Didn't Shane Long not score for like 2 years or something?
He went on what he described as a long spell without a goal. But yeah, I think he looked pretty sharp at the end of the season. So,
well,
as I say,
good.
He can pick up that energy.
He's in your... In your squad, largely for enabling purposes, though, I imagine, Duncan.
He is, and possibly even for that little section about Messi, so he might disappear before the weekend.
All right. There's plenty of time. The first fixture is Saturday lunchtime, so it's at 11:30, a deadline for us all. Any other must-have forwards so far? Some people say Timo Werner is a must-have. Others disagree. Harry Kane gets a lot of consensus if you've got the cash. Anybody else? Who you really should have?
I think Jimenez shouldn't go overlooked in this section because he is always FPL gold. And all right, he never really scores more than one goal, but he will always, week on, week out, get you points. He might not ever kind of set the world on fire and get you 25, but if he's going to tick over 9 or 10 points every week, then that shouldn't be sniffed at over the course of the season. That's going to be a really nice points haul by the end. So Jimenez, for me, is one that... we shouldn't overlook when we're looking at all of these other assets. And unfortunately for him, he sits in that really difficult price point alongside Danny Ings, where depending upon how you spent your budget in the midfield, you might just not have enough to get to the budget that you need for Jimenez. But I think if you can, he should be a good pick for the season.
And with all the attractive options available in midfield and the money they'll eat up, are the likes of Vardy at 10 million and Aguero at 10.5 no longer in anyone's thinking?
You need to wait for him to come back from injury and see what kind of form he's in. Vardy, I don't know.
I just looked at Vardy, actually. I'm quite surprised that he's almost 17% of teams have selected Vardy. I mean, you know, we've written him off before, and obviously he won the Golden Boot, but there's going to come a point where he's becomes less productive. And
the thing is, Leicester ended the season so badly last year that I just don't yet know what kind of Leicester we're going to get. Are we going to see the Leicester we saw at Christmas when, or up to Christmas when Jamie Vardy was on his absolute purple patch from heaven? Or are we going to see the Leicester that we saw in the restart and not get that out of Vardy's too much if we end up in that situation?
Well, there you go. That's a list of some of the must-haves, some of the players you really ought to be considering trying to squeeze into your FPL squads. We will be back on Thursday to fine-tune the teams a little bit more and factor in any news that we've had, any new signings, but also things like the breaking story that's happened this Monday at Man City, the positive test for Aymeric Laporte and Riyad Mahrez, and how that's going to affect them. They obviously don't have a fixture in game week one, but how that might affect the team going forward and anybody's selections. Any other narratives perhaps that might be influencing people's player picks? But what are you going to be spending the next few days doing in particular? And any conclusions that you might have drawn from this show that you're going to be now addressing your teams with, Jules?
Yeah, I think I'm going to redo the team and just listen to the podcast again and see where I can improve it. I think
you're being sarcastic.
No. I was just going to say I'm just going to do not what Duncan has done, basically. Yeah, just not go. I swear, if he could have had five Chelsea players, he would have put you and Abraham up front as well with the other three. So, yeah, stay away from that.
Okay. Wow, it's on, Duncan. It's on.
Well, I'm going to take absolutely nothing from what Jules has said. But I think Sam's made a few good points in that the having two keepers that you can rotate, I think, is something I've kind of overlooked. So I think I will be saying bye-bye button and changing that up a little bit.
You've got no money left anywhere. You've put all your money on Chelsea players. Right. You've got no money left.
I've got another Burofax and it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Sam, what conclusions have you drawn from this?
It's been like with two kids in the school playground today, isn't it, with these two? I think for me, it's going to be a case of spreading the budget, making sure that you've got as much flexibility as possible. But also, I think what you just said, James, is so important. This season, more than ever, we are going to have players that get positive tests and then get ruled out of game weeks for a couple of weeks. So for me, I'm going to be looking to make my transfers and my decisions as late as possible so that I've got as much information as I can have going into the game weeks.
And also, so you'll have a chance to listen to our Thursday update. Thursday show, the weekly Fantasy Premier League podcast, it should be with you every week, Thursday afternoon, evening. So yeah, wait for that one and all the golden wisdom therein. Duncan?
I was just going to point out the last couple of seasons, the transfer windows closed before the season started. That very much isn't the case this season. It runs till October the 5th.
That's a really good point.
I think the first month of the season, your plans could change quite a lot as, you know, X club buys some massive new player that might change everything.
Wow. All right. Wild card early and often. Good. Excellent. Well, listen, thank you very much, everybody, for being with us today. Sam, Duncan and Jules, enjoy the rest of your holiday, Monsieur Laurence.
Merci beaucoup.
We will be back, as I say, on Thursday. In the meantime, you can find more FPL content like the FPL show over on the PremierLeague.com. But many, many thanks for listening. I hope that's been some help with your teams. And we'll catch up with you later in the week. Cheerio.